Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call right now, 844-322-2742. Same number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I enjoyed that interview with Phil Cook yesterday. I hope our listeners did, too.
Well, I hope they did as well. Phil is such an interesting guy, energetic,
really
insightful, and brings compelling content to the airwaves.
Uh-huh.
And I really appreciated all the things that he said.
Yeah.
Love the fact that he thinks moving forward, people are going to be more interested in the deep things of God.
Yeah, right.
We're kind of tired of all the practical stuff. Like I said, you go into a bookstore, you see all the titles, and you think, gosh, we Christians don't know how to do anything. I mean, we don't know how to be husbands. We don't know how to be fathers. We don't know how to be wives. We don't know how to work. We don't know how to do this. We have to get information on every single thing. Well, I think that just leaves us at a point where these deep needs are still left wanting.
Yeah.
And only the gospel can answer those. And I wanted Phil to come on the program yesterday because in that blog post that he wrote back in January, I think he described so much of what we've been about for all these many years. We've never wavered from delivering the good news of Jesus Christ because we believe wholeheartedly that that is the sole answer to the needs and the problems of this world.
Yep.
Jesus is the solution. He's the solution to our individual problems. He's the solution to our family problems. He's the solution to our societal problems. He is the answer, and we need to lift him up and allow people to see him for who he is and to be amazed by Jesus. Think about the disciples. They see Jesus walking on the shoreline, and he stops and he looks at Andrew and Peter, for example, and he says, "Come and follow me." And they didn't do any investigation. They didn't do a background check. They didn't know anything about Jesus. There was something so amazing, something so astonishing about the man Jesus that they left their boats and followed him. And that's what happened with everyone that Jesus encountered. There was something about him. And as we lift up Jesus in our society, in our culture today, I think people are going to be amazed by him today, just as they were back then.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't mean to derail you on the plan for today's broadcast. We usually talk about Jesus, and I think this is not going to be an exception.
That's exactly right. One of the things we learn about Jesus through his death on the cross is that he reconciled us to himself and that he's given us this ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins against them. Well, the heart and soul of reconciliation, that act of reconciliation, is really found in the definition of love that Paul put forth in 1 Corinthians 13, and it gets down to this little phrase, love keeps no record of wrongs. That's what reconciliation is all about, the fact that because of the work of Christ, because of the reconciling work of Christ, we don't have to count sins against one another. But boy, that doesn't make sense. That's illogical to our human way of thinking. But when you think about it, grace doesn't make sense at all, does it?
No.
So we have to realize that this is something that's going to turn our whole thinking upside down. It's going to change everything as far as how we conduct ourselves in relationships one with another. But normally, for us, we like to keep a record of wrongs, and we find joy in that, and especially in marriage. We have file cabinets filled with wrongs that we've suffered over the years, and we can bring them out at any given time. I mean, you get into an argument, something that happened 12 years ago just comes out. I mean, you almost quote what was said word for word or describe the event in vivid 3D detail. I mean, that's how these minds of ours operate. But that's not reconciliation. That becomes a point of division. As long as we keep records of wrongs, we're going to push each other further and further away. And we see that happening in marriages all the time today. And as a matter of fact, in our law, there's this irreconcilable differences.
Yes.
People just come to the point that they can't reconcile, and or they don't want to. So the law just stamps irreconcilable differences and divorce is granted, and off they go. But in Christ, there's a way to not count sins against one another. And it all gets down to love. It all gets down to this fact. Let's not keep records of wrongs. Now, it's interesting when you look at the various translations that we have, New International Version, English Standard Version, the New Living Testament, the King James Version. When you read through the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, you see a lot of variation in how these different phrases are rendered. This one, for example, love keeps no record of wrongs. That's what's in the New International Version. The English Standard Version renders it this way: love is not resentful. The King James Version says this: love thinks no evil. So when you combine all of these, you get the full picture of what Paul is trying to communicate. This is where the English language really falls short. We don't have enough words at our disposal to really convey a lot of the truth that was written in Greek that Paul used way back then. But when you put all these together, you really get a sense of what Paul is talking about. So say Richard does something wrong toward me, and this is just hypothetical.
Never happen, actually.
Never would happen. Just would never happen. But so we're going to throw that out there, a hypothetical. Well, in my human, legalistic, sinly thinking, I'm going to note that. I'm going to write that down. I've created a spreadsheet, the Richard Pfeiffer spreadsheet. And entry one, he made fun of me on March 16th, 2016. He did that. He made fun of me.
You rascal. You.
Yeah. So I've got that recorded. Now, the King James says love does not think evil. I start thinking of an evil plot to try to get even. So he made fun of me. How can I make fun of him? But in a way that puts me ahead on my tally, that shows, okay, I've recorded this wrong that he's done, and now I've recorded a wrong that I've done to him, and my wrong out-wronged his wrong. So I'm ahead. I'm ahead.
Now I feel bad for Richard.
But here's what Richard does.
Uh-oh.
He records that. And it just becomes this back and forth, and we get at odds with each other. Well, how are we going to be reconciled? We've got to get rid of the spreadsheet. We've got to totally do away with the spreadsheet. That's how we become reconciled one to another. And how do we do that? On the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because he no longer counts our sins against us, because he has forgiven us of all of our sins, then we can forgive one another. We can take those spreadsheets and realize there is nothing of value on those spreadsheets at all. Let's put them through a shredder. Let's be done with them once and for all.
Yeah.
If we would do that in our relationships one to another, and particularly in marriage, we would see the strongest marriages on this planet. That's the heart and soul of our relationship with God. And if it becomes the heart and soul of our relationship with one another, boy, the world will look on and say, wow, those Christians really do love one another.
Yeah. That's Basic Gospel, everybody. We are glad that you've joined us for this edition. You can really join us by giving us a phone call at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And we have plenty of time on the clock, plenty of open lines, and we'd love for you to have one right now.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go talk to our friend Brad in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad Lee.
Hi, everybody. Y'all know I love y'all. But I tell you what, I may have talked to Richard about this, but this very subject, man, you talk about the epitome of reconciliation. As I you know, all month long I've been studying along with you, and I've been looking at different things. And in Ephesians 4, 32, I believe it is, and in Colossians 3, there's two statements here that I believe a lot of people say it's impossible, but God tells us in both of those scriptures that we are to forgive one another as God has forgiven us. And for the most part, people think, well, okay, I say I forgive you, and you're forgiven. But truly, how did God forgive us? God forgave us by putting the sins behind his back, not to see them and never to remember them again. So I believe this is a work of God if people want to go there, and that is not only tell people you forgive them, but you forget the wrongs suffered, as you were talking about in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, I know that sounds hard, that sounds difficult, but I'm testifying to you right now, it's working in my life. And what it does, when you forget those, let God help you forget those, there's nothing to reach back and grab and heave to your partner or to anybody else. No bombs to throw because you've forgotten them. So I'll let other people call in about that, but I believe God tells us twice, forgive others as I have forgiven you, and part of his forgiveness was forgetting.
Well, Brad, you're right. In this new covenant, God remembers our sins no more. And that really is a part of this act of reconciliation. It's taking that spreadsheet and throwing it away and never bringing it up again. It's not allowing those hurts to define you. It's really learning to stand firm in who we are in Christ, realizing that our identity has been given to us through new birth. We stand as children of God. So anything that happens to us doesn't change that status. It doesn't change that reality. So I can still be confident in the love of God. And as a result, I can choose never to bring those things up again and deal with things in the present. So, Brad, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate
it. Thank you.
God bless.
844-322-2742. Give us a call at Basic Gospel, somebody, everybody. We'd love to hear from you again. 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Michael in Queens, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Michael.
Hi, gentlemen. I just want to thank you both for standing for righteousness. And my question is regarding abortion. I was wondering, is abortion mentioned in the Bible? And if so, where?
I don't think the word is actually mentioned in the Bible, but it does say that we are not to murder. That's pretty clear, and that's really what abortion is taking the life of another human being. That's why the pro-life movement has chosen that term to describe what it's all about, the pro-life movement. And certainly throughout the Word of God, from beginning to end, we see this sanctity of life being talked about by God, through the prophets and Jesus, through all the New Testament writings. That stands as a truth, as a foundational principle of this world and of who God is and how he brought us into being. He wants us to experience life. That's why he sent Jesus, so that we could go from death to life and experience life in him. So this sanctity of life issue, here's one of the rubs in my mind, is many believers just reduce that down to the abortion issue. But sanctity of life is a much bigger issue, isn't it? It covers us from womb to tomb and even beyond. And so we as believers, I think, are called to act within that framework of sanctity of life and dignity for all as we encounter people in every stage of life.
Okay. All right, well, that was my question.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. Thanks for your call.
Again, this is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper is here. We're glad that you've joined us. My name is Bob Davis, with a reminder that with your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, you'll receive a copy of Bob Christopher's CD, Reconciled for Life, and its accompanying study guide. If you need assurance of your salvation, or if you know someone who does, this message, Reconcile for Life, will provide it. And it's yours this month, as I said, for a gift of any amount. To make your gift and receive your copy of Reconcile for Life, click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net or phone our operator at 844-412-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, Richard, you spend a lot of time talking with people in marital counseling, mm-hmm. premarital counseling. How does this truth about reconciliation really, I guess, spell itself out in those counseling situations? And how have you seen reconciliation be the key that brings people who are far apart back together and strengthens their relationship?
I guess the easiest way to describe it would be that, you know, even though we claim to have shredded that spreadsheet, what we find when you're talking to people is that we've been digging through the container with all the shredded paper, and we're doing a puzzle on the
trying
floor,
to put it back
trying
together.
To tape it
yeah.
all back together. And that, it happens, right? As you start to talk to people, you begin to hear where the hurt is. And quite often the hurt is far more on the side of they won't let it go than he hurt me in the first place, right? So something happens, some pain-causing event happens, and it looks for all the world like they've worked through it. And this is most often seen, I think, certainly the most painful thing you see quite often is after an affair. We've worked through it. We're done with that. We're going to move on. We've chosen to stay together. We've chosen to rebuild the relationship for God to build us. And all it takes is just the slightest little hint of a future problem. And all of a sudden it's, well, you're not planning on that again, are you? I mean, this is looking like a pattern. I've seen this pattern before. And as soon as you're asked the question, you're in a no-win situation. It's the equivalent of being asked, do you still beat your wife? Well, I can't answer yes or no to that question because both answers are an admission of guilt. And that's what we do to each other. And when you see people stop and say, we're not going to go there anymore, this truly is done, and we want to work toward a different outcome, then you see them start to pull together because the reconciliation begins to happen. Now, takes time. There's no doubt that certain things cause great pain in our relationships. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Holy Spirit can do, and only the Holy Spirit can do, you can see people grow back together. You can see them become one, whether it's a marital relationship or partners in a business or mother-daughter, father-son, father-daughter kinds of stuff. I've seen people work through things. And it turns out, as sort of as the counselor, I'm the guy who has to walk by faith because I'm sitting there going, oh, man, if this was me, I couldn't get over this. That's not fair.
But the power of the gospel.
The power of the gospel is that.
And that's what we have to rely upon. Gina and I just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations, by the way.
So we were out celebrating that last week. And you know, we've had just a wonderful marriage, but we've certainly had ups and downs and all of those sort of things. But this act of reconciliation, this intentional desire to put things in the past as quickly as possible, has really been a key to a good and mm-hmm. growing and thriving relationship. I mean, our marriage today, 25 years into it, is better than it's ever been. And I think it's just because of the gospel, the foundation of the gospel. And Gina is just the absolute best. If something is amok, if I've done something, she doesn't let it go. And we talk about it, but then it's done.
Yeah.
It's finished. It is in the past. And so my hat's off to her for just her deep roots into the reconciliation that she has in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, it is the foundation for a solid marriage. The other aspect of this that I think is key is the fact that we have Christ living in us. You know, so often if somebody's wronged you, then you try to control the situation so that that never happens again. So that's acting out of fear. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I can't trust the Holy Spirit to work in Gina. I've got to get into action and control her and to make sure that she does what's going to make me happy. And then she gets in to action and tries to do control me so that I'll do the things that will make her happy. Well, if we will recognize that both have been reconciled to God, that God isn't counting our sins against us, so why should we count our sins against each other? If we'll come to that point and then realize, I don't have to worry about her because Christ is living in her, and she doesn't have to worry about me because Christ is living in me. And if we will just trust Christ to work in us, the marriage is going to take care of itself.
Yes.
That's how God works it. So he's designed it in such a marvelous way. I don't have to be fearful. I can let go of those things. I can let go of control, trusting that he knows what's best for the both of us. So I know for you and for me, when we're talking to couples, we have to look at each one of them and say, don't worry about what's going on in that person's life right now.
Yeah.
Let God deal with you. And if you will let God deal with you and trust God to deal with your mate, you're going to see some great things happen. Do you have confidence that Jesus is sufficient? Do you have confidence that he isn't counting your sins against you? Do you have confidence that he's not counting her sins against her? Then we've got something to build upon.
Yes.
And if we can bring a person to those, a couple to those places, then there is all kinds of hope and great expectation for that marriage to be 1,000 times better than they ever dreamed possible.
Yeah. One of the beauties of a problem is that it gives you a chance to re-examine your relationship with Jesus. What is it that I think about my relationship with God that is being reflected in how I'm reacting to this problem? And usually, at least in my life, what I've found is it's my misunderstanding of some aspect of God's grace and his love and forgiveness that I'm projecting onto somebody else. And, you know, the growth is so possible because the Spirit is there to renew our minds. And if we'll allow him to do that, you're right, 1,000 times better.
Yeah. And that's why we want to put this product into your hands, this resource that we've created, Reconciled for Life. It's a CD message. It comes with a little study guide, just scriptures that talk about the reconciling work of Christ, how that spells itself out in our lives. We never really talk about marriage. We've never done a marriage seminar, but I guarantee you this is the material that strengthens marriages like nothing else.
Yes.
There are folks that are paying, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars to get advice to help their marriage. None can compare to the reconciliation that they have in Christ Jesus. So that's why we want to put this in your hands. That's why we've created this resource. It's available to you for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. It's our way of saying thank you. But it will be a resource that will help you in your journey with Christ. And in giving to get that resource, you're going to be helping others find solid footing as far as their relationships are concerned in the reconciling work of Jesus Christ. So so get this resource as quickly as possible.
Reconcile for Life and its accompanying study guide, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, and you can donate on any page at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-412-2742. That, of course, a toll-free number and available during Central Time office hours, 844-412-2742. Bob, we mentioned yesterday a call from Marianne in Louisville, Kentucky, who was literally raving about the Basic Gospel app. And we couldn't be more pleased with the multifaceted nature of this particular tool to stay connected with Basic Gospel. And, friends, we encourage you to go to the App Store and bring it down. Basic Gospel app, yours right now. Also, we want to invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. Just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of the website. Again, it's at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and the Basic Gospel Ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. I hope you'll join us. See you then. Bye-bye.